The last gasp of summer is here. I think after this weekend, you can start pulling out the, you know, I wouldn't say your long johns quite yet. Long sleeve shirts, possibly, especially in the morning. I mean, I'm looking, one of the places I really watch the weather for is the farm in Chester, and it's, you know, 80, 59. Well, my next weekend, it's 76, 57. And there does look like some rain coming. So for you deer hunters out there who are have held off because it's been so dry, planting your winter food plots, hey, get them in this week. Looks like we'll get some rain Saturday, Sunday, Monday next week. So hope that helps you out. I've got to get mine in too. I'm planning on doing that one day this week. Don't know exactly when yet, but one day this week I'm going to get mine in. Welcome to another Saturday on Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz. I'll be with you the next hour. You're listening on 94.5 WGTK here in Greenville, South Carolina. You can go to their webpage and stream it live. That's conservativetalk945.com. Hit the red button to the right. Says Listen Live link. And you can find this program on Facebook, Instagram at hashtag Woods and Water SC Radio. And there's a lot going on. It's going to be a busy show. Going to cover some news, things going on. Then we were talking to Michaela with Duke Energy from the World of Energy. They're going to host the South Carolina National Hunting and Fishing Day next Saturday. And then we're going to talk to Bright and Ernest from Low Country Fly Shop down in Mount Pleasant. They've got a one-fly tournament going on the first Saturday in October. That's the third. And if you want to challenge yourself, go fish a one-fly tournament. We'll get more on that, and it'll be fun. It'll be a fun day, but it's challenging. If you want to call into the show today, it's 877-235-9405. If you don't want to call in, you can text. The text line is 864-441-9572. And a lot going on the calendar, so, well, I guess before that, if anybody is wondering, the mosquitoes in the Francis Marion National Forest are alive and well. I hunted for a couple of hunts the last couple of days with a buddy of mine down there in the rain, not pouring rain, but in enough of a rain and humid, not especially hot, but boy, the mosquitoes were wearing us out. Even with thermocells, my buddy had two going. I only had one, and for a while, the mosquitoes were landing on the thermocell. So I have more than a few bumps here from the mosquitoes. Hands and face, mostly, biting through my gloves and through my face mask. It's always always an experience to get down there early in the season. I actually went to the farm with my brother last Wednesday and saw a few bucks, which was encouraging. It's very different there at the farm this year. We had a bunch of timber cut. Still hard to get used to. Still hard to get used to. And what's with this northeast wind? Northeast. Look at the weather forecast for the next 10 days. It's northeast, northeast. I need a southwest wind to really hunt well over there. So maybe this forecast will change and I'll get the wind I need. But anyway, that's what my week was like. Busy, got a little hunting in. The first deer I saw was a little spike, and I mean, it was right at like 6:40 Wednesday morning. Spike walking across the clear cut. And for those of you who don't know, doves, they'll land in a sandy spot, and they'll pick up grit for their gizzard, and that's how they grind up seeds to eat. And there have been a few flying around, and this poor buck, he was walking across, and he stepped on a dove. I mean, the dove came out from between his front feet. He was about 50 yards away from me, and I felt, of course, I laughed so hard, I almost fell out of the stand. But he went about 40 different directions. And you never know what you're going to see. I had an owl. I was hunting down in Francis Marion, and the owls down there, there are a whole lot more of them down there, and they're a whole lot more vocal. I tried to get them on video, but I couldn't because the rain was too loud. But I had one land like 15 yards away and just scare the daylights out of me. Then he realized what I was and flew off to another tree and kept looking back at me. So you just never know what you're going to see here. And that's why I always take my camera. You just never know. But anyway, got a full calendar. So let's get to it. You know, South Carolina, we have a rich heritage of quail hunting throughout the South, but in South Carolina too. It's what I grew up doing, is bird hunting. And believe it or not, Wednesday morning from the tree stand, I heard a covey of quail whistling. Not Wednesday morning, Wednesday night. So, which is really, it's really neat, because as a kid growing up, we heard it all the time, and then you just didn't hear it. Now it seems like we may have a covey. May have a covey back, which is really good. But the there's a group that's meeting next weekend, the 26th, at Magnolia Farm Lodge. That's in Ridgeway, South Carolina. It's the South Carolina Bird Dog Revival. Tom Hall is putting it on. Barbecue, bird dogs, puppies, family setting to promote the oldest South Carolina sport, field trialing. And they even got written up in a few other magazine articles and all. And South Carolina Bird Dog Revival, September 26th, noon till 6, Ridgeway, South Carolina, to benefit the Association of South Carolina Field Trials. Bird Dogs, Bluegrass, Barbecue, Professional Seminars, Films, and Art. John Ray Kimbrell, Mark Fulmer, Ross Calloway, Steve Browner, Dr. Charles Timmerman. Tack Gear Knowledge Picnic, Dogs, Camaraderie, Tips, Habitat, and more. So if you're into bird dogs or haven't been into bird dogs for a while, this is a great opportunity for you to go and, you know, kind of retrace some steps we probably walked together in our younger days. And wouldn't you know it, my computer just took me way back out of everything. And I'm going to have to find... Oh, gosh. This is not good. Give me just a second here. I'll find it. I'm trying to get back to the calendar. No, I'm good. Sorry about that, Dave. I wasn't supposed to answer you live on the... Okay, here we're back. Okay, let's get going here. Department of Natural Resources, don't forget we've got some deer management meetings across the state coming up, the 22nd in Florence, the 24th in Lancaster, October 6th in Pendleton, October the 8th in Greenwood, October 13th in Orangeburg, and October 15th in Walterboro. That's to go over the proposed tag system that we're trying to get implemented here in the state. Go listen, make your voice heard. You know, you wonder how much influence you really have, but if you don't go, you never know. So don't forget those. Those are kind of, you can find those at the Department of Natural Resources website. Just look for those scheduled meeting across the state. National Hunting and Fishing Day. Now, we talked about this, so I won't spend much time on here. It's September 26th, next Saturday, at the World of Energy. And we're going to have Michaela on to talk more about that. So if you're not going to tune in later on the show, don't forget next weekend. It's a free event. People always like to know that. Visit Pickens County, September the 27th, Sunrise Hike, Bald Knob. Be an early extra riser and take a unique moonlit hike to Bald Knob Overlook on Pinnacle Trail. After experiencing the nocturnal aspects of the forest, we'll enjoy the pre-dawn sky from the outcrop as we anticipate the beauty of a new sunrise. Meeting place is day-use parking lot. You need to bring water, snack, flashlights, good hiking shoes or boots, no sandals, and dress for the weather. $25 per person. You can find more about that at www.visitpickenscounty.com. They've also got, on the 27th, the full moon hike on the Harvest Moon. The Discovery Center Museum parking lot, late fall and winter are wonderful times to experience dusk in the garden as day turns to night. Join naturalist James Wilkins to experience the sights, sounds, and sensations of full moon night. Please wear shoes and clothing appropriate for walking in the woods. Flashlights are not needed. That's the Discovery Center Museum parking lot in Clemson, South Carolina. $10 for family. And again, that's at the visitpickenscounty.com website. There is a coyote control class and trapping demonstration Tuesday, September 29th, 5 to 8:30, the Clemson Extension Office in Williamsburg County. That's in King Street, South Carolina. You know, they had a series of meetings across the state. This is a continuation of that. Their coyotes are having a big impact on our native wildlife, and you're going to have to deal with them. Pigs, we'll get to those later, but right now we got to deal with coyotes. I have just a couple more. Come back, we'll get into those and go into some news before we got some very good guests this hour. So stay tuned, and we'll be back on the other side of the break. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's one of those reactions you have when you just don't think about things. No, Dave, I'm good. I'll handle it. Let's get back to a few more calendar events for this week. The Sumter County has a fair. Starts September the 29th through October the 4th, and it's mostly an ag fair. You know, livestock, lots of livestock judging, baked goods judging. It's just looks like a really fun place to go. This year they have tried to include some outdoor, I don't know if you call vendors or organizations, but I know the Sumter chapter of Delta Waterfowl has been invited to participate in an all-new exhibit at the fair this year. They will have a booth in the Sumter Fair Agri Building with other sportsmen and outdoor enthusiasts. Make plans to attend this year's fair and make sure to stop by our booth. So for your outdoorsmen who want to check out and see what the new, I won't be able to get down there, I don't believe, because of the dates. But check out and see what Sumter County Fair is offering for the outdoorsmen. And you can find more about the fair at sumterfair.com. The second annual Life of Impact Leadership Experience, this is Riley's Catch, and we talked to Rod Goodall before on this show, is October the 2nd through the 4th. It's at YMCA Camp Thunderbird up on Lake Wiley. It's a weekend event for high school students. We'll feature high-energy outdoor adventures for the purpose of building strong hearts and minds that build a foundation for leading a life of impact. Students will experience team-building adventures, new friendships, creativity, critical thinking, mentoring by skilled outdoor professionals. And, of course, they got the Riley's Cup fishing tournament that you can take part in. The cost is $175 per person, but as Rod told us here on the air, he said, you know, we don't want anybody not to come because of financial concerns. There is some money, scholarship money for you if you want to go. The accommodations are provided. Meals are provided. You got archery, zip line, riflery, canoeing, kayaking. Just a great weekend. And for our really, you know, Riley, if you don't know his story, Riley Lehman was a student with a vision to share his love of God, fishing, and the outdoors. And he was killed in a car wreck in early 2012. While he was working to restart a high school bass fishing program in North Carolina for his team, his school. So that's where this grows out of, and it's a great, talking to Rod, it's a really fulfilling event, and I'm sure if you have a teenager who is at all interested in the outdoors, or maybe not interested in the outdoors, this could be a good thing for them to do. Final thing this week is the 11th annual Denny Ford Memorial Fishing Tournament. Is going to be held, actually, the party's on the 29th, the registration party. The weigh-in's October the 3rd. Species are trout, flounder, sheep's head, redfish, king mackerel. They're saying $3,650 in cash prizes. Of course, all rules and regulations, Department of Natural Resources apply. It's put on by the Island Sportsman's Club. It's $35 per angler, $15 per youth angler, and there are youth awards. So a good tournament to take part in down in Charleston first Saturday of October, along with the One Fly if you're a fly fisherman. So that kind of gets us through the calendar of events. I always like to mention something that we need to keep reminding people of. Hunters and fishermen, we know it, but a lot of people out there know it, and that's Pittman Robertson. This is a blog from the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership by Cyrus Baird. It's written September the 2nd, 2015. It says, on this day in 1937, one of the most important pieces of legislation in conservation history was signed by President Franklin Delano Roosevelt to dedicate excise tax on guns, ammunition, and other hunting equipment toward funding conservation and wildlife habitat restoration throughout the country. Today, the Federal Aid and Wildlife Restoration Act, more commonly named the Pittman-Robertson Act, for co-sponsor Senator Key Pittman and Congressman Absalom Robertson, can be directly linked to the revitalization and survival of wild turkeys, white-tailed deer, elk, pronghorn, antelope, wood ducks, black bears, Canada goose, desert bighorn sheep, and mountain lions in our country. At the height of commercial and market hunting, and just as several species were on the brink of being overhunted to the point of extinction, this important bill helped to create a permanent source of funding for conservation in the U.S. Estimates show that Pittman Robertson has brought in over $8 billion for conservation since 1939. Now, that's an 11% tax on hunting, fishing, camping gear. Over 4 million acres of sensitive habitat has been acquired with these funds, and the management of wildlife on another 40 million acres has been underwritten with money from PR and state-funded matches. This funding also ensures that we're using the best science to assess habitat risk and needs, easily making it part of one of the most successful conservation stories ever. All of this, of course, has come on the backs of sportsmen and sportswomen everywhere. Every time we purchase the latest shotgun or bow, stock up on ammunition, we are essentially helping win our own cause. But the effects of PR funding extend far beyond sportsmen. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says that almost all the lands purchased with PR money are managed both for wildlife production and for other public use, such as hiking, camping, birdwatching, and picnicking. So when you're at the store stocking up for opening day, go ahead and buy the extra box of shells. It's worth it. The decisions we make today at the cash register in Washington will have lasting effects on our sporting traditions. And I always like to bring that up this time of the year because everybody's out there buying new, oh, name it, tree stand, rifle ammunition, arrows, tents, whatever. We're all contributing to conservation. And as I've said on this show many times before, it's those of us who invest in it that keep it afloat, not the people who spend all their money in Washington protesting or trying to get us kicked off our favorite hunting grounds or outlaw guns or something like that. Those aren't the people that are keeping our wildlife strong, healthy, and enough habitat to survive. We covered the early season duck regulations last week. This week is the late season migratory bird regulations. Opens November 21st through the 28th. That's the first split. It comes back in December the 12th and runs to January 31st. Hunting hours, half hour before sunrise until sunset. Bag limits, 6 total. No more than 4 mallards, 2 of which can be hens, 2 pintails. 1 full of a whistling duck, 1 black-bellied whistling duck, 3 wood ducks, 2 redheads, 2 canvasbacks, 2 scops, and either 1 black duck or 1 muddle duck. Well, they have an opening date on mergansers. I don't exactly know why you'd shoot one, but they're pretty much the same way. Season limit on them is 5. Sea ducks, well, if you're lucky enough to do that, you actually obviously know what you're doing. Coots, I don't know why you'd shoot those, but there are Canadian geese, pretty much the same seasons, except that there is a late season for Canadian geese, February the 14th through the 29th. That's after the regular season is closed. Blue goose and brants, they're all in there too. One interesting story, thing I saw that popped up is wood ducks. And I have some of these. Wood duck, do you know that you can get wood duck boxes? There is a form for that. It's in conjunction with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, the South Carolina Chapter of Ducks Unlimited, and the South Carolina Department of Corrections make and provide wood duck boxes to private landowners. There's a PDF form. If you go to the Department of Natural Resources, look under wood duck information, you'll see your application for wood duck boxes there, and you can get up to 5 of them. They are on approval basis. But if you're interested in conservation, maybe you don't duck hunt, but you're interested in seeing survival of a species, wood ducks, you know, they nest in hollow trees. Those are gradually a vanishing resource for them. So we're having to make boxes. I've got a couple out on the farm in Chester. Nothing like seeing a wood duck hen go into that 4-inch hole in flight. It's amazing. I'm going to stop there. We got Patrick Crawford is on the phone with us to give us our Easy Ways fishing report. Patrick, how are you today?
Hey, doing good.
Good.
I'm here in Berkeley County right now, but just got off the phone with Captain Xavier from the Fishing Crazy Charters. He's up there on Lake Hartwell.
Close.
And he said over the past week or so, he's been looking at the water temps, you know, rapidly dropping. He's thinking about another week or two and the striper bites are really going insane up there.
Okay.
But he says, right now, he said they've got a lot of bass that are schooling, spotted bass.
Sure.
Back up into the back of the little pocket there.
Okay.
He said late in the afternoon, the stripers are starting to school up really well. They're catching them on a lot of, like, Zarasu.
Yeah.
And Bomber Badonkadonk.
Nothing also, like having a fish bust a topwater plug, is there?
Oh, that's my favorite thing in the world. And there's this, I don't know, have you ever seen one of these? It's called a hydrolage unit?
No.
Okay, so I use one on my boat in freshwater and saltwater.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't know about them, but if you watch a lot of bass tournaments, you'll actually see them.
Okay.
I've wrote some articles about them in the past, but the hydrolage is a little speaker that goes to a control box in your boat.
All right.
And you can change the functionality of the sound that plays through, but it actually imitates a school of bait fish.
Okay.
So when you come up to a school of fish, that school will actually stay with you because they think they're feeding off of you. It kind of masks the sounds of the boat and
yeah.
the sounds of bait fish. But Xavier did say also that over on Lake Tekasi,
yeah.
that the deep water trout bite really starting to get going also. So looking for fresh water, you know, he's a great guide up there, and he's actually one of our captains in the system.
Okay.
Today alone, I know he caught spotted bass, largemouth bass, striper, catfish, and somehow they caught a garfish all in one day. So I don't know what kind of slam that is, but sounds like a good one to me.
Mixed bag. Let's just leave it at that.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, thanks, but, Patrick.
All right, thank you, sir. Like I said, if anybody's looking to book a fishing trip, just give us a check out at easyways.com. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Well, there you go. Man, fall is just a great time. Not on this is the hunting good, but the fishing is just starting again to get good after the heat of summer. We were talking about wood duck boxes. You can get those in any body of water that you have available. You can put them up. Normally, you want those, and then they'll give instructions on where to hang them. But you need them out over the water. That's why a lot of times you'll see them on the 4x post out in the water. And you need to clean them every year, but there's nothing like watching a clutch of wood ducks hatch and swim around your little piece of water and knowing you're helping a species. And like I said, you don't have to be a duck hunter to do this. I mean, you just got to have a place to put the box. About to the end of another segment. I don't want to go on too much more. Other than the DNR, if you're out there and you're going to poach deer, be careful because the Department of Natural Resources has a new robotic deer decoy donated by the Quality Deer Management Association Foothills Chapter. It's funny, if you watch TV shows, sometimes you can see these guys get caught shooting a mechanical deer. So, upstate people, beware. Be ethical and abide by the rules. Come back. We're going to have Michaela from the World of Energy to talk about National Hunting and Fishing Day. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We want to welcome Michaela Kreuzberger from Duke Energy to Woods and Water. How are you, Michaela?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. 44 years of National Hunting and Fishing Day. It's quite a roll. I love that we celebrate a day like this in our calendar year. First of all, introduce me, and then I want you to tell me how Duke Energy came to host this event. But go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us what you do over there.
Sure. My name is Michaela Kreuzberger. I am a teammate at the World of Energy, which is the education center for Oconee Nuclear Station. I've been here for about 2 years with my team. And the World of Energy is a free education center, open 6 days a week. We've been here for more than 40 years. We are open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and on Saturdays, noon to 5. And how we came about with Hunting and Fishing Day,
yes.
This is our ninth annual Hunting and Fishing Day. We've been with some of our partners throughout the beginning. We have a great partnership, and we are always excited to get together every year for this event.
You know, back in the mid-90s, when Quail Unlimited was in existence and I was living over in Chester, we used to work with Duke Energy, the Catawba Nuclear Station, planning food plots and power line right-of-ways, and Duke has always been a friend of the outdoors, and we appreciate them for doing that for us.
Oh, yes. We are proud supporters of this event. We think it's a great way to promote conservation, celebrate all aspects of the outdoors. We are very thankful to be a part of this event.
All right. Tell us how to get there. I guess, first of all, it's at the World of Energy, but how do you get to the World of Energy? Because you don't necessarily want to trust your GPS on this one.
No, that is a great question. The World of Energy, we are located in Seneca, South Carolina. Our address is 7812 Rochester Highway, Seneca, South Carolina, 29672. But we don't trust the GPS for this. The best way to get here is to go to our website to read our directions.
Right.
And I'm going to give you the website.
It's go ahead.
www.duke-energy.com/World of Energy. And then once you get to our website, you're going to click on the Visit Us tab, and we have directions from all different areas.
Take all the risk out of getting lost in some of those back roads up there.
That's right. That's right. We're in Seneca, and we're located right off of 130. We're well marked, and we'll have all kinds of directional signage, but the best way is to check our website.
What time does it start, and what time does it end next Saturday?
Sure. We are starting right at 9 o'clock, and we will go all the way until 3 p.m. next Saturday.
Now, will you still be parking people over at the ball field and shuttle busing them across the road?
Yes, we will have a free shuttle service, excuse me, for all of our guests. Off of Highway 130, we'll have our free parking area. It's across from the World of Energy entrance.
Okay.
And like I said, you'll see directional signage to get you into that parking area, and then a bus will transport you across the highway and onto the World of Energy grounds.
We also have
handicap parking available.
Go ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
No. I just saying that handicap parking is available right at the site.
Okay. I was there last year, and that had been the first time I would. Got over that way. I took my daughter.
Yeah.
And I was amazed. I really didn't know what to expect. But lots of groups there.
There are a ton of groups.
Yeah, from Nature Conservancy to Clemson Shotgun Sports Team. So tell us, who's going to be there this year?
Well, we have quite a bit of partners that we work with. I'll go ahead and tell you all of them because they'll all have something here at the event. We have the Clemson University Group and their extension. We will have the 4-H Shooting Sports, Upstate Forever, Duke Energy, the Harry Hampton Memorial Wildlife Fund, the DNR Services, U.S. Sportsmen's Alliance, Trout Unlimited, the Weatherby Foundation, and then we also have Academy Sports and a new partnership with Cabela's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, part of all of the stuff that we do, there's all kinds of events. We'll have lake fishing, kayaking, air rifle range, archery, fly tying, casting, duck calling demo, a fish simulator. And with Cabela's this year, we have a couple new events. We have an inflatable BB gun range, a campsite and water purification demo, and a safe archery demonstration. So it's going to be really fun.
It's going to be fun, and it's free.
It's entirely free. The whole day is free. That's right.
Okay. Now, when you're talking about coming out there and spending all day, of course, you start thinking about lunch.
We do have lunch available. We have a great picnic area and several picnic tables around the site. We have lots of space, so you can bring a picnic lunch, but we'll also have two food vendors that will be selling lunch that day. We have Chick-fil-A, who's coming back this year.
Okay.
But we will also be having a new vendor that we're excited about. This is called Meat in the Middle. It is a local food truck vendor out of Westminster.
Okay.
So we'll have Chick-fil-A and then Meat in the Middle. So we'll have a couple different choices and plenty of space to sit down and eat with the family.
And a beautiful place to do it, too. That when you go down through the woods on your little trail and pop out there on the lake, it really wows you. It's a beautiful place.
It is a view. I say it's the best view on Lake Kiwi, for sure.
It is. Well, you've gone through everything. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this? Because it's going to be a full day, lots to do, free. Families are getting them out there and getting exposed to this stuff. And we appreciate Duke for doing it. Anything else you want to add to that?
Well, I just want to add, we'll be here rain or shine next Saturday, September 26th. This is entirely free. It's a family-friendly celebration of the outdoors. Anything outdoors we'll have. We are just very excited to be here and with our partners, and we'll have also an entire row of different local agencies coming that support outdoor recreation and the outdoors in one way or another. So if you have any interest in the outdoors, then we've probably got some information for you that you're going to want to see. So it's going to be a great day.
Very good. What other things do you have up there at the World of Energy, if you don't mind me asking?
Of course, the World of Energy. Like I said, we support Oconee Nuclear Station, and so our education center tells you all about electricity and the different ways that energy is produced. We have a self-guided story of energy tour. It takes about 25 minutes to do. We also have a butterfly garden. It'll be winding down in the next few weeks as the cold weather comes, but we also have a 3D visual map, some historic displays. We have a nature trail and, of course, the picnic shelter, and those are all open year-round.
Very good. Well, I have the same daughter I took last year wants to come again this year, so maybe we'll hop over there before the show.
Please come. We'd love to have you guys, and we're also doing selfie stations for the first time. So
no.
Bring your smartphone and come take a selfie with us.
Come take a selfie. Well, Michaela, thank you for coming on the show with me. Look forward to seeing you next Saturday. And, folks, again, it's a free National Hunting and Fishing Day celebration. Lots of hands-on stuff, all thanks to Duke Energy.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's one of the most important questions you get when you start talking about things to do. Well, what's it cost? And, you know, free is always good. And if you bring your own lunch, you know, well, then it's a little less expensive than buying your lunch there. 44 years of National Hunting and Fishing Day, it's a good day to celebrate. Last week we had Bill Marshall on from the Department of Natural Resources about the beach and river sweep. I checked with him just a minute ago. He said we had great weather for being outside with beach sweep, river sweep. All went fine and good as far as I can tell. We had 93 cleanup groups registered this year. So a good group of volunteers have come through to give us a good sweep event. So thank you to all those site captains that donated their time and energy leading up to this to find a place to clean up. Thank you to all the volunteers that went out there and cleaned up our environment. Appreciate that. Going on with a little bit of waterfowl news, kind of ran through quickly the late season, and we'll bring those up again once we get closer to Thanksgiving when they open. Don't forget, you do need a state waterfowl stamp and a federal waterfowl stamp. The federal you can get online this year for the first time. But they also, the Department of Natural Resources is also ready on their website for the 2015-2016 public drawing waterfowl hunts. You have to submit these hunts by midnight Friday, these applications for these hunts. By midnight Friday, October 23rd, there are some youth-only waterfowl hunt locations in here too. Lots of hunt sites across the state. Last year I went through, and I don't think I have this on my computer handy where I can get to it. Last year I'd gone through and come up with a list of like the A list of where you want to apply for. Now granted, if you're going to apply for some of these courses, most of these right here look, in fact, all of these look really good. You know, the Bear Islands, the Sandy Beaches, the Sandy Coastals, the Santee Delta units east and west, those are all good. But there are some areas you do have to have your own blinds and decoys. The transportation blinds and decoys are furnished at Bear Island East, Bear Island Springfield, The Cut, Sandy Beach, Broad River, and Watery River WMAs. Only transportation and blinds are provided at Samworth, Sandy Coastal, The Cape, Cedar Island, Murphy Island, and Bear Island West. Transportation layout boats or sleds and marsh stools are provided at Santee Delta East and West. Hunters will be limited to one bag of decoys per blind. Excuse me. Of course, you need chest waders and flashlights. Use of retrievers, highly recommended. Of course, if you're going to duck hunt, any kind of bird hunting, you need a dog. Of course, if you're a dog man, you have those one way or the other. But anyway, hang on. When we come back, we're going to talk to Bright and Ernest about the One Fly Tournament down at Low Country Fly Shop in Charleston, South Carolina. Back on the other side. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope you'll take advantage of next weekend's free hunting and fishing day up at Duke Energy's World of Energy. But coming up, if you know anything about me, you know I love to fly fish. I'm not the greatest fly fisherman out there. In fact, I don't like to fish with many people because I'm not very good at it. But I do enjoy it. On the phone now with Brighton Ernest from Low Country Fly Shop. Brighton, how are you today?
Hey, how's it going? Doing great. Thank you.
We're good. You know, I'm not the best fly fisherman, and I don't really know that I'm up for picking one fly and fishing with it the whole day because I'm going to lose it about the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm with Low Country Fly Shop in Charleston, and we decided we wanted to do a tournament, but we wanted to do like the least serious tournament that you could ever do. So someone had the great idea of doing a one-fly tournament. So basically what happens is you pick one fly, and you say, hey, yeah, I'm gonna fish a drum beater.
Okay.
And that's it. You get a drum beater. You fish the whole tournament. If you lose your drum beater, you're done. You're out of the tournament. Can't fish anymore. So
and
definitely,
this was,
definitely throws a loop in there.
And this was somebody's idea of the least tournament you could get in? I mean,
yes,
it's kind of a lot of pressure on you.
I feel like a lot of us fly fishermen are, we try to take things really lightly.
Yeah.
So this is just kind of our shot at that in Charleston. So
you pick one fly. Now, the key to it is to making sure your leader's heavy enough to keep that fly on, but not too heavy to spook the fish.
Exactly, yeah. And we're going to do a max tippet so that the heaviest you can throw is 20 pounds. That should be plenty.
It should be plenty.
But, so there's going to be a party at the shop all day. We'll have oysters and... I think Palmetto Brewery is going to sponsor it, and that'll start at like 10 o'clock. You know, someone's going to lose their fly in the morning pretty soon.
Of course. Well, when is it?
It's October 3rd. It's a Saturday coming up, about 2 weeks. So Captain's Meeting will be that Friday. We'll have food there, and then we'll have food all day, live music going on Saturday here at the shop.
What are we fishing for? Is it just redfish?
Yeah, trout? So it's a redfish tournament.
Okay,
but,
redfish only.
There's... If you catch something besides redfish for your fly, it's very likely you're going to win a prize. So, like if someone pulls up and they're like, hey, I caught a tarpon on my fly, they're going to win something. So, yeah, we're pretty excited.
That's cool. Well, what else is a fishing report from down there? I was down there.
It's been great. This is the best time of year for sure. So
I had like 5 minutes yesterday to stop in and see you guys, drop all the stuff. What's the fishing like?
Yeah, it's been really windy this week. I got to go out last Tuesday, saw a bunch of tails. If you've never fished a flood tide in Charleston, it's unlike any other fly fishing endeavors you could go for in the South. It's kind of like fishing for bonefish, but you're fishing in 6 inches of water and you're only sight fishing for redfish. So you see them tailing. Sometimes they're so skinny their backs are out of the water. So right now was the time of year to do that. That's something you can't do all year. You can only do it spring through fall and fall.
Right.
By far the most productive. So, yeah, it's been great down here. It's finally cooling off a little bit. Today's pretty hot, but
yeah, I think
cooling
this,
off. The fish are happy. They're feeding. So we've definitely been seeing a lot of fish.
I think this weekend's kind of the last gasp of the summer heat.
Yeah,
I think it's
going to
look
so.
Pretty good
hopefully
next week. So. you got the one fly tournament. The fishing's heating up, but you guys are building bamboo rods down there. And I got you kind of walked me through it hands-on last month when I was down there. But walk us through what it takes to build a bamboo fly rod.
Yeah, it's crazy. So Matt Shalisky, he's the man. He's the bamboo guy. He moved down here last year, but he's been building bamboo rods for 12 years, and he kind of brought on the addiction to us.
Sure.
So he's from Colorado. He's been building trout rods. He got down here, and we started building redfish rods, and primarily one-piece rods. They're just a lot lighter, faster, stronger. So we... There's all different kinds of bamboo, like I think it's like 12,000 different species. But you can only use one species of bamboo to make rods.
One species from one place in China.
Yeah, there's one river in China. It's called Tonkin cane, and that's the only kind of bamboo you can really use to make a fly rod. So that's kind of interesting. So we have to import the Tonkin cane from China. So
right.
We start out with these large culms of Tonkin cane. And we'll split those into sections. It's a split cane bamboo rod. We'll split those into sections. We'll heat treat them, sand down the nodes, which is kind of like the knot on a bamboo comb.
Right.
And then we'll take those split tiny little pieces and we'll take a hand plane, put them in something called a form, which is just a big jig.
Right.
And we'll plane them to the dimensions. We'll six those strips you plane you glue together, and that's one rod. So it's definitely a lot of hours into it. Matt said it's about 40 hours building a rod. It seems like it takes me a lot longer than that.
You haven't been building for 12 years.
Yeah, I haven't been building for 12 years. So, but yeah, it's been a lot of fun. So there's definitely nothing like fly fishing with the split cane bamboo rod. It's just it's a natural fiber, and there's just the feel in it is unlike any other contemporary modern component. So yeah, it's a lot of fun, definitely.
Yikes. Don't give me one. I'll snap the tip in a heartbeat.
Yep. Yeah, that's another kind of interesting thing about bamboo. The tensile
sure.
strength of bamboo is actually higher than that of steel. So they're actually really strong rods. But now if you break it, you can't just send it to a factory and they'll
right.
just give you a new one. If you break it, I mean, we'll fix it, but one of us literally has to build you a new section or new rod. So
unreal.
My first one piece accidentally got...
Yeah.
Someone shut a car door on it. And I don't care how strong of a rod you have. If you shut a car door on it, it's done.
It's done.
It was a one-piece rod, and I was able to just cut it and make it a two-piece rod.
I was going to ask if you got the second piece made for it yet.
Yep. So we're working on that second piece right now. So, yep, a lot of labor, but like I said, you get a rod that's just unlike anything else you can fish. So.
Well, what's new in the shop? I mean, y'all had hooks galore out on the table when I was there yesterday. What's new? If somebody wants to tie, what's the newest thing you've got?
Oh, man. Scotty gave me the catalog. Scotty's the owner at Looking Through Fly
right.
Shop. He gave me the catalog a couple weeks ago and was like, hey, order some new tying stuff, which was probably a mistake because I ordered way too much tying stuff. But we got all kinds of new colors of Crystal Flash, and I think we got 250 different colors of rabbit strips now.
Oh, so, sweet.
We've definitely been... tying a lot for this fall, so we've been ordering a lot of tying stuff. That's been fun.
Good. Well, the shop is the new shop has got atmosphere. I mean, you know, the bar, the stage, the high ceilings.
The new shop's been fun. It's an old bar. So
yeah.
It looks more like a fly shop should.
Yeah. It's a great place. A great place to hang out. Every time I'm in there, there are just people in there hanging out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely a good place to hang out. Yeah, so we're here pretty much every day. I think the only days we really close is like Thanksgiving and Christmas. So,
okay.
If you're in Charleston, definitely come by.
Yeah, Mount Pleasant.
Here.
And
yes, sir, Mount Pleasant. Yep.
How's the Mexican? Is the Mexican restaurant right next door any good?
Yeah, so we're right by a Mexican restaurant and a liquor store. So, Mexican restaurant is. I definitely need to stop eating burritos for lunch, but Senior Tequila's. Man, that's been everyday pork burrito. Nothing else.
And they've got the big glass bottle Cokes.
Big glass bottle of Cokes, yep. We get those, bottles has them, and they have them.
Oh, wow.
Mexican Cokes, they're awesome.
Well, cool. Well, thanks, Brighton. I don't know. I mean, I'm still up in the air, my schedule-wise, but, you know, at least you got my blessing on the stuff, and I hope it goes well. I'll at least check in with you sometime that day, see how it's going.
Yeah, definitely. If anyone has any questions, like I said, feel free to call the shop, so we can fill you in. Buy-in's like $60. That covers, like, your hat and... You're gonna walk away with a lot of free stuff. You're gonna walk away with a lot of food. So
cool. What's the number for the shop?
Let me look it up. It is 843-388-5337.
Cool.
So that's lowcountryflyshop.com.
Man, I appreciate you coming on and telling us about the one fly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, have a good one.
Do the same, Brighton. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
All right, bye. You know, I love fly fishing, but no. I would catch Spartina grass on my back cast, the first cast out, and I'd be done. It just snap. Bad knot, old leader. I'm just not that good. But, boy, it does sound like fun. One fly. I'd probably get a white clouser. Just be done with it and just see what happens. But so if you're a fly fisherman, you want to be a part of a fun tournament and learn and meet a great group of guys down there on the coast, get a hold of Low Country Fly Shop. $60 in, you know, hey, oysters and Palmetto Brewer is going to be there, stuff. And like I said, if you tie your own, you really need to stop by and see them because they have a huge, huge selection of tying materials. So if you're a fly fisherman, it's a place to be if you're on the coast. And remarkably enough, they sell a lot of freshwater stuff too. A lot of 4-weights, 6-weights. They have a full selection of pre-tied flies that you'd use up here in the mountains or New Zealand or wherever you want to go, they can fix you up. And they've got all the rods and reels that you want to look at. So, and they're a sponsor of this show, which is another great thing about knowing people like Scotty and having them put this show on. I love to give back to them. I hope this tournament's great, and I hope this is the first of many for them. You gotta laugh every once in a while. Pick this up off a camping, hiking website. You just gotta laugh. Yellowstone guest asks park ranger to train bears so guests can see them. Every year, millions flock to Yellowstone National Park to take in the breathtaking scenery and wild animals. But apparently some visitors to the Wyoming park would prefer that the animals not be so wild. A Reddit user who goes by the name of the Midgetar recently posted the following image on the site explaining, "My friend works at Yellowstone. Some guests actually left this with the front desk upon checking out this morning." And it's a Yellowstone experience rating, you know, from Zantara. "We strive to do everything possible to make your stay enjoyable. If for any reason this room or cabin needs the attention of our maintenance or housekeeping departments, we'd like to know so we can work towards correcting it. Please complete this form and leave it in the room. For issues requiring more immediate attention, please contact the front desk and report the issue. Thank you for your time." And the concern they have is, "Our visit was wonderful, but we never saw any bears. Please train your bears to be where guests can see them. This was an expensive trip, not to get to see the bears." People, bears are wild. Yellowstone doesn't train those things. But, you know, are we that far removed from reality that we expect bears to show up where we can see them? Who knows? Chuck for this week. Chuck Norris can unscramble an egg. You think about that, it's pretty good. And in honor of you know, the South Carolina Bird Dog Revival and my, you know, growing up bird hunting and all, I read one of these last year. It's 10 quotes for the sportsman's soul from Sporting Classics Daily. It's one of my favorite authors, Gene Hill. "It's a grown man walking in the rain with a sodden bird dog at his heel who can smile at you and say with the kind of conviction that brings the warmth out in the open, 'I'd rather be here doing this right now than anything else in the world,' is the man who's discovered that the wealth of the world is not something that is merely bought and sold." Gene Hill, A Fireside's Book, 1972. And that's it for another week. Hey, look, last hot weekend. Fall is here. The leaves are going to be turning. Now's the time. Make those plans to get outside this next 3 months or so. You know, be safe when you're out there. Take the back roads when you can. There's a whole lot more to see there than on the interstates. And don't forget that camera. Talk to you next Saturday.